This episode of The Nate Darling Show is radio-friendly. All the funny, none of the cursing. The world is a big, stupid place.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
And they're here to make fun of it. This is The Nate Darling Show. Now, here's Nate and the gang.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, welcome back, Kareem.
It's good to be back.
Jason, how are you?
Oh, superb.
Superb. Delightful. I just turned you down a little bit.
Yeah.
It was a little loud.
I was right on top.
Well, that's how you are. I mean, Kareem, feeling better back this week?
Yes.
Did you have a vegan smoothie again?
I don't know what it was, but it hit me like a vegan smoothie.
You need to start paying attention to that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should have like a diet journal.
You might be right. I tried to make it. Like, I left the house and got, like, almost to the freeway and was like, yeah, that's not happening.
Man.
Well, thanks for bringing that back home and not here. So
you're quite welcome.
Do appreciate that. Thanks to Mel for sitting in last week, wrapping up the Summer of Sam guest spots. Yeah.
It's about time. I really liked, you know, what's it called thing? It's a Jewish word. Anyhow, when you kibitzing. It was nice to kibitz with Mel.
Yeah, Mel is a delight. So it was great to have her here, and of course before that, Larry, and then Mel, and Becca, and Christiana, and
they've all been great. It's been so much fun.
It's been a nice summer. It's been a very nice summer. Coming up today, we got a lot to get to, but including Al Roker going on a rant, which is very on Al Roker.
I wouldn't call that a rant, really.
Well, we'll take a listen and then we'll talk about it. But first, we lost a Hollywood luminary just a day or so ago, depending on when you're listening to this. We lost Gene Wilder.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. The common clay of the New West. You know. Morons.
That is my favorite Gene Wilder movie, Blazing Saddles. Jason, what's your favorite Gene Wilder movie?
I Young Frankenstein and Blazing Saddles are amazing films, but for me, the one that I most remember and will always be the one that I think about first because of the memory it shares with my grandpa is Frisco Kid with Harrison Ford and Gene Wilder. And it was shot completely like on back sets, like in the late 70s, early 80s, maybe like 81, 82. And it's about a Jewish rabbi that has to go to the West. So it's like a Western with Harrison Ford as the rogue that he always plays.
Mm-hmm. Kareem, your favorite Gene Wilder movie?
Blazing Saddles and Stir Crazy.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Blazing Saddles for me is a no-brainer. That's one of my favorite movies of all time anyway, not just because they use the N-word a lot.
Where are the white women at?
That's right. It was a wonderful Western satire. Very well done. So 83 years old, and we found out after he passed that it was complications of Alzheimer's. So
yeah, they said he didn't want to ruin his image for kids who grew up on Willy Wonka.
Sure.
So
I think Johnny Depp ruined Willy Wonka for everybody.
Yeah, but I'm saying he didn't want people to he wanted that image of him to be their image of him as opposed to
I think all of us would like if people remember us to remember us at our best and not at our most frail. So at least if you're someone who's into the afterlife, he gets to see Gilda Radner again.
Yeah, that is true.
So, safe home. This week, the big story, both on the sports and regular news, and of course in social media, everybody yelling about Colin Kaepernick not standing up during the national anthem, and then not apologizing for it. In fact, saying he's going to continue to sit down.
I mean, ultimately, it's to bring awareness and make people... realize what's really going on in this country. There are a lot of things that are going on that are unjust. People aren't being held accountable for.
And that's something that needs to change. That's something that, you know, this country stands for: freedom, liberty, justice for all. And it's not happening for all right now. I'll continue to sit. I'm going to continue to stand with the people that are being oppressed. To me, this is something that has to change. And when there's significant change, and I feel like that flag represents what it's supposed to represent, and this country is representing people the way that it's supposed to, I'll stand. There's people being murdered unjustly and not being held accountable. Cops are getting paid leave for killing people. That's not right. That's not right by anyone's standards.
So that understandably got a lot of people very upset.
I hate to say it, Colin, but you're going to have hemorrhoids by the time it changes.
Well, I thought he was just practicing for his season because dude ain't getting off the bench. So you might as well get that working in the preseason because he's not going to be a starter again. But Kareem, let me ask you. You are a black man. You are also someone who served in the military. What are your thoughts about not standing up for the anthem?
Since I go back and forth with myself whether I want to stand up for the anthem when it plays, I don't have an issue with it. And for you to have more of an issue with him not standing for the anthem than you do for the issues that he brought up, then that means you have your outrage is a joke. If you're not addressing the issues that he actually addressed, because he in the statement and they don't play the part of the statement where he says he's not trying to offend the military. He's not anti-military.
Right.
He has family who's serving, so it's nothing to disrespect them. So I have no issue with it. And matter of fact, I wish more people would stand up.
Jason, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, like, this is, in my view, as a guy that has never served in the military, though tried, and as just a citizen, that's his right, and that's what he's allowed to do. Like, you know, that's, it does not matter. I mean, like, I'm glad if that's what his conviction is, if that's what he believes in his heart, and that's how he feels, then I'm glad that he's doing it, and that's what he's doing what he wants to do. And for, like Kareem said, for people to have more of an issue of it than, like, he's practicing his freedom of speech, I think that's my my view on it.
So as my cousin who served 20 years in the military, I only did 4.5. But my cousin, he said, as a 20-year military vet, I can say this. I've been reading posts about Colin Pat Kaepernick not standing for the national anthem, and people are calling him all grades of names and burning his jersey. Here's where the hypocrisy part of the story comes in. We are soldiers coming home from war in desperate need of physical and psychological care, and approximately 22 million vets are committing suicide every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's an epidemic, by the way. I don't see people out burning $2,000 suits and raising all kinds of hell with Congress and the government about that. Just a little food for thought from a vet. Have a blessed day.
Yeah. To that point, there's the 22 push-up. It's not a challenge, but you might have seen it on social media. It's not as popular as the ice bucket challenge because it's hard. But it's pretty easy to dump ice water on your head or have somebody else do it.
Yeah.
A little harder to do 22 push-ups. But people have been doing that to raise awareness for the fact that 22 veterans do commit suicide every day in this country. And that is a huge issue. Getting back to Colin Kaepernick, as far as I go, I wasn't super upset or offended either way. A lot of people were. And here's the thing. They have every right to be upset because that's their free speech. Freedom of speech in this country means the government doesn't come in and say, no, you can't say that. Or you've said that, now you're going to jail. Nobody from the government has come to Colin Kaepernick and said, oh no, we're taking you off to jail, son, or anything like that. It's just average people who, for whatever reason, are upset. And they have every right to be upset with him, just like he has every right to sit for the national anthem. I'm perfectly okay if they just stop playing the national anthem before every damn sporting event. Because what's the point at this point? I mean, really? And if there's a Canadian team, there's two anthems.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, okay, we get it. We get it. And then at the seventh inning stretch at baseball games, they're playing God Bless America, too. And I'm like, oh, my God, stop. Stop. We get it. We get it. Everybody loves America, which is great. I'm glad everybody loves America. I love America.
Yeah, I love America.
I think it's one of the best places on earth.
Me too.
I think Colin Kaepernick would find if he went to another country, his life would be a little more difficult than it might be here. Not to say that there aren't problems.
But at the same time, he would not speak out if he lived in another country, most likely, because he doesn't have that right afforded
exactly.
to him.
Exactly.
So,
and that's the point.
Yeah.
No, that's kind of the point.
I get that also, but I guess the thing is the people that are being aggressive about it.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing that fuels the fire, because people get so aggressive and get so heated and hate, like, you can feel the hate in their eyes, and like, you can see like that. And then these are the same people, like a meme that I posted today.
Those are people that are short, mad because they slow and got to work a regular job and never had a chance to make it at anything. So they're just mad about that stuff as much as they're mad about what he did.
Mm. You mean like Jerry Rice?
Oh, as somebody said now, Uncle Jerry now?
Oh.
That's an interesting take. Jerry Rice not really feeling it. He tweeted, and this is something a lot of white people have been criticized for tweeting. All lives matter. So much going on in the world today. Can we all just get along? Colin, I respect your stance, but don't disrespect the flag. Unclear whether he was being critical of Black Lives Matter, but the phrase that he used has been viewed as a criticism of that movement.
And I've seen my friend that's probably one of my most outspoken friends post about like saying that he has no right to be saying that, and just as upset with them as she would be about any person saying it. You know, I mean, to her that idea is, he's not, you know.
Well, Jerry's one of those athletes who played it safe.
Yeah,
he's always played. He's the Michael Jordan of football.
He's never the greatest of all time.
No, I'm not even giving. He's not the greatest of all time.
He had the greatest quarterback of all time.
Yeah. Well, he had two different quarterbacks.
He had two great quarterbacks.
First and second.
And Steve Bono.
And Steve Bono, yeah. But he was that guy that played it clean. Jerry's not going to say anything controversial that's going to cost him anything.
I don't know. That was pretty controversial to come out and say what he said.
Again.
And especially since he's working in the entertainment field now.
Yeah. He's working in the entertainment field, but he's the non-threatening Black guy. And, you know, and that's perfectly fine for him to do that. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to do that, stay in your lane and stay being the non-threatening Black guy.
No.
Don't go from being the non-threatening Black guy to the political puppet. Don't go from the non-threatening Black guy who doesn't speak on anything to being the Fox News Black guy that they bring out when they want you to say something against something that another Black person stands for.
Well, Colin Kaepernick was fined last year for calling another player the N-word on the field. So he doesn't have a long track record of being, this is a relatively new Colin Kaepernick.
Well, that was a guy who if Colin Kaepernick wasn't biracial, that wouldn't have been a conversation.
No. Speaking of that, Rodney Harrison went on the radio. He's since apologized for this, but take a listen to what he said.
Boys, you know, and I tell you this, I'm a Black man, and, you know, Colin Kaepernick, he's not Black, okay? He cannot understand what I face and what other young Black men and Black people face, or people of color face on an every single basis. When you walk in a grocery store, when you walk in, you know, and you might have $2,000 or $3,000 in your pocket, and you go up into a Foot Locker and they're looking at you like you're about to steal something. You know, maybe I don't think he faces those type of things that we face on a daily basis. You know, if he really wants to make change, maybe what he needs to do is maybe, you know, write a check out of that $11 million salary that he's making, and maybe, you know, donate it toward a cause or something like that for people that are fighting for injustices against people of color.
He's apologized for saying that now, because he caught a lot of flack.
Yeah, because he's an idiot.
I didn't say he wasn't.
So this is the weird thing for me, and this is the height of hypocrisy with part of the, Colin Kaepernick doing what he did has been is the thing that brings every racial thing that we have in America like to the like it's like to the head. Because white people weren't claiming biracial people until there was Halle Berry and Barack Obama. Then it was like, oh, well, he's half white. Oh, so now you want to claim. So we have a law on the books that's called the one drop rule that's been on the books since I think it was like 17 something.
And you've talked about this on the show many times.
Yes. That says that if you're black, if you have a drop of black blood in you, you're black. Always been the case, was the case when I was a kid. It's been the case, it was the case until I think I was like 35 years old. We got a black president, and then all of a sudden, oh, well, they're mixed. So when Alicia Keys became popular, when Halle Berry became popular, then all of a sudden everybody wanted to claim the biracial part. Like, oh, well, they're half one of us. Like, no, you've been calling them, and you're going to have to bleep this for the last 300 years. So that's one part of the hypocrisy of it. And for Rodney Harrison to say that, Colin Kaepernick grew up with white parents in Turlock. I don't know. I haven't spent a lot of time in Turlock, but I'm assuming there are not a lot of black people in Turlock.
There's a lot of Mexicans there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of farms around that area.
So I'm pretty sure Colin Kaepernick got called the N-word a lot as a kid.
He does not at any glance look like, let's say, just your average run-of-the-mill white guy.
Right.
He's not going to be, oh, hey, look, there goes a white guy.
Yeah, I am pretty sure Colin Kaepernick has dealt with his fair share of racism.
Most likely.
Growing up in Turlock, being probably the only black person in a lot of circles, and probably caught some of it from the family of the people that raised him. Not necessarily from his parents, but you know that there were some racist white people in that family that had some issues with that.
Maybe.
So that's a whole nother part for you to say that he's not black. I'm pretty sure that when he gets pulled over or if he's in the store or whatever, they see the same thing that they see with Rodney Harrison.
Yeah, of course.
You know, so for him to throw that out, that's, it's ridiculous. And then, oh, I didn't know he was biracial. Like, okay, whatever, dude.
But I think you made a really good point. It brings out every bit of that sort of weird, racist, this is bad, and from every side.
From every side.
And it just proves that a lot of people really need to look in the mirror and do some deep thinking about what would fly out of their mouth.
Yeah. And then you have a black man who's successful, who's now a millionaire, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, we gave you money, so you're not oppressed anymore, or you shouldn't speak out anymore. It's like, shut up and dance.
Well, and he says to be fair to Colin Kaepernick, he never said he was being oppressed.
Right. But I'm just saying that's the attitude is just sure. Shut up and entertain me. Or so, and so you're going to have to bleep this one again. So in other words, it's dance, dance. We don't want to hear what you got to say.
Sure.
And I don't necessarily blame that on, at this point, I partly don't blame that on society. I blame that on black athletes and entertainers who didn't take a stand for so long. That society became comfortable with them not taking a stand.
Yeah, and one thing that I saw someone bring up on social media was he did this at work, and you can take a stand on your own time, but when you're wearing your employer's uniform, is that okay? But the NFL already came out and said, we don't require our players to stand for the anthem.
Exactly.
So that's not even an issue.
That's not even, exactly. Yeah. So that's not an issue.
And I think it's just something that made a lot of people uncomfortable. It hit a nerve with a lot of people, and I think that's okay that it hit a nerve. But I think after your nerve got hit, you need to step back and go, why did I get so upset about this? Right. Is it because I've been called out on something that I know is true, but I don't want it to be true?
Right.
Or are you just completely unaware and in denial that there is a problem? So I think it's a really good chance for the country as a whole to reflect a little bit.
Did you see the video for Neil Everett on SportsCenter?
I did not.
So he talks about, he said he stands for the flag. He said, but he's one of the black anchors on SportsCenter.
Oh, you mean Stan Verrett?
Stan Verrett, yeah.
Neil Everett's white as I am.
Ah, so Stan Verrett, my bad.
I was wondering what you're talking about.
But the video, he talks about how his father served in World War II, in the Army in World War II, and how he came back from, got discriminated against in the Army, came back, was still being discriminated against once he got back. His mother couldn't go to a college, couldn't go to LSU or anything like that in Louisiana because they didn't allow black people in it. And so for you to say that the military, you know, him not standing disrespects the military or whatever, well, what about the people that you disrespected when they came back from serving the country and not nothing changed for them as, you know, black men and women.
And unfortunately, to go back around full circle, a lot of people who have done time in combat zones of every color don't get the proper respect or care when they come home.
Yeah.
And that's a huge problem because you have people who are exposed to the most unthinkable things who then have to come back into the world where everything's normal for you and me. And there's a part of them that's still there and they don't have anything to help them deal with that.
Right.
And I think we need to do a better job in this country. If you're so upset about it because of our veterans and the flag, now would be a good time to start petitioning Congress to do something to start taking care of veterans rather than yelling at a backup quarterback to stand up during the national anthem. And that's my soapbox.
Amen, Nate.
Yeah.
All right. Meanwhile, Al Roker had his own soapbox.
This is awesome.
Al Roker was a little bit upset with the whole Ryan Lochte situation and how he kind of played the people at NBC. And when he tried to say something, Billy Bush, who ironically is dressed a lot like Al Roker, I don't know why they went to the same shirt store or whatever it was. But here's how that went. Rant, maybe. I for Al Roker, this is definitely a rant.
He lied. He lied to you.
Yeah.
He lied to Matt Lauer. Lied to his mom. He left his teammates hanging while he skedaddled.
He certainly lied about some details.
No, he lied. No, Billy.
Some details?
Billy,
not some details. There was no robbery.
There was no robbery. There was no pullover. There was nothing. Nobody
cocked
a gun
to
his head.
Hold on.
He lied.
Okay, calm down. Listen, if a security guard is standing in front of you with a badge and is asking for money and you don't speak Portuguese.
There was a translator.
Right.
Well, the swimmers, Jimmy Fegan said there wasn't. So there's a different
story. But the fact is,
if someone's saying you'll give me money or you can't leave.
He lied.
Sure, he embellished that.
No.
Money unwillingly came out of his pocket.
He lied. They were knocked out. He said they were their car was hit.
That's not true. That's a lie.
Well,
gun to the head is a dirty Harry moment is a lie. That didn't happen. They weren't sideswiped.
So he created all of these moments to make himself look like, I've stared them down in the face. It was like you said, the Dirty Harry moment. I mean,
You look at Mario Andrade, who's the Rio organizing guy. He said it was a terrible, does he want an apology?
Al's stirring his drink now.
He's traveling abroad. They're great athletes. They're great swimmers. We don't want an apology from them.
Ryan Lochte should speak out. I think he owes the Brazilian people an apology.
All right. Well, we agree to disagree.
Just saying, we talk about there's video of vandalism. We haven't seen the video of the vandalism in there. Keir Simmons did a piece this morning.
Right.
Took them in there. There's nothing damaged in the bathroom.
Look,
there's certain elements, but
let's keep an open mind. We'll keep an open mind. Hopefully Ryan
there
will
was
come
a gun.
On. Hopefully Ryan will come on and give his side of the story.
We'd love to have him here on today.
Look, it's not a shining moment, and there are embellishing moments. There are total untruths. In the end, Al, he shouldn't have lied to his mother.
That's what I said.
The one he lied to in the beginning was mom, and she then got the story out there.
The question is the moment.
And then people wanted Al Roker to apologize for that.
That is
man.
By the way, if everybody can stop posting the white privilege equivalencies that aren't really white privilege equivalencies, that's a white privilege equivalency. Because Billy Bush was just like, no, Al Roker, you don't know. I'm Billy Bush.
Yeah, like, no, he lied. I don't know. When did it become a thing to not call a person a liar when they're lying to you straight to your face?
Yeah. Right. I'm Team Roker on this one completely.
It was like, I mean, and Billy Bush isn't the only person that's done it.
No.
I've seen it across the spectrum, and I'm like, he lied. Why are y'all trying to massage this? What are you going to get out of massaging that he lied? I don't understand.
Well, when it first came out, I was like, okay, before everybody just jumps one way or another, let's figure out what happened.
Yeah.
But dude lied.
Yeah. He lied.
He lied. We know he lied. He's a lying liar.
He's the lyingest liar.
It's true.
He didn't embellish. He lied.
And then he stranded his teammates. The mm-hmm. guy, like, then he, like even more reprehensible, like, than lying. It's cool if you lie and, like, you're gonna find out. But, like, he left his three teammates. Like, he just left them hanging. That's cold. That is, like, not, that's, like, the worst. That's, like, another step. That's a different level of hell.
And to me, that's worse than him lying about what happened at the thing, is the fact that you left, and you left your boys to deal with it in Brazil.
Yeah. Let them know you're leaving early. Yeah. And let them be on the same
plane. Hey, guys, listen, I'm going.
And you're the adult in the situation.
Yeah.
You're the oldest in the situation. And you left your boys hanging.
Well, we'll see how he does on this season of Dancing with Stars.
Oh, that's right. He's being punished by going on Dancing with the Stars.
Right? I mean, like, yeah, that's like, yeah, that's a gleaming, yeah.
Meanwhile, a U.S. Postal Service employee has stashed nearly 50,000 pieces of undelivered mail in her California home. That's according to a criminal information complaint filed against her. Federal investigators charge that Sherry Watanabe hid approximately 48,288 pieces of U.S. mail in her apartment. It was intended for delivery to customers along her route in Placentia, which is in Orange County. She's 48. She was named in a one-count felony filed by the U.S. District Court in L.A. In a plea agreement with prosecutors, Watanabe is admitted to the mail hoarding. Is that just I'm too lazy to deliver the mail? What is that?
Yeah.
It's unclear, but she faces a statutory maximum of 3 years in custody. Prosecutors have agreed to recommend the term of imprisonment not exceed the low end of the applicable sentencing guideline range.
So one of the worst things that I have ever done in my life was,
oh boy,
when I was like 13, I had a paper route, and I'm not a morning person. I've never been a morning person.
Great job.
Yeah, it was a great job, right? And like I delivered in a neighborhood in the suburbs, like where I knew everybody, and I still like I would deliver to the people that knew my parents, and I would hide the rest of the newspapers. I was horrible. And like my dad, this is the really messed up part, is that my dad didn't find it until like 15 years later when he was selling our tent trailer. Like that shows you how often they used it.
And that's where you were stashing
them? Where I'd been stashing all the newspapers, man. Like I probably only did it like 4 or 5 times where I ditched out on it. But it was, it's still one of those things where it's like, I get it.
I'm not saying that. Don't get it.
But wow, good thing there's email now, so I'm not waiting on something.
Yeah.
Although you don't know, that could be a check.
It could be a check. I mean, that's pretty bad, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you imagine like being on the receiving end of it? Like that's like the worst coworker ever. Like not only did she hoard it, but she didn't like destroy it either. Like now they're gonna have to actually redeliver it, and it's gonna go back to her post office.
Oh yeah, and all the people that have moved. It's just bad times.
Get ready for some judging. It's time for Cool or Tool.
All right, first up in Cool or Tool, taking a stand or a sit, as it were. Jason.
Cool.
Kareem.
Always cool.
Yeah, if you believe it, stand up for it. And then you get to stand up for the criticism, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because people will disagree. Up next in Cooler Tool, Al Roker. Kareem.
I like Al. I like Al even more now. So cool.
Jason.
Yeah. I was reading some pretty crazy stuff where he might be like a robot or a lizard person. Because I was so enamored by this piece of journalism. So it's really cool.
Al Roker for taking a stand and angrily stirring a drink on the Today Show. Completely cool. And finally in Cooler Tool, mail carriers. Mail carriers. Jason?
Oh, man. I still remember my mail carrier from when I was a kid, Dennis. Like, we would give him a Christmas present and, like, a bone. Like, So, I mean, they're cool, except for when they're tools.
Kareem?
I'm going to say tool on this.
Okay, that's fair. Let me tell you who's tool. The U.S. Post Office. Because when I lived in Midtown and I got to talk to one of the postal carriers, he's like, oh, you know what they do? They hire these part-time fill-in people who aren't really mail carriers to do the routes several days a week. So that's why you're getting mail that doesn't belong in your box, and who knows where your mail's going. So the mail carriers, unfortunately, sometimes victims of the corrupt organization that they represent. But tool, I'm sorry. That's going to do it for cooler tool.
Darn it.
All right. Sometimes being a parent means you go that extra mile for your child when you're very bad at talking them out of terrible ideas. This is true not just here in the U.S., but it's true in Canada as well. This could be small town news, too. I don't know. I haven't looked up the population of Maple Creek, Saskatchewan, where a customized birthday cake a Canadian mom made for her nature-loving son's fourth birthday party features the image that he specifically requested. That would be the birth of a calf. The birth of a calf.
What did this mom do to her kid?
Jamie Packard said in a Facebook post that her son had been asking for a cake picturing a cow having a calf for several months leading up to his birthday. Packard said that she and her husband, Tyler, tried talking Ben's, well, there you go, you named your child Ben's, into a more traditional cake design, saying, we tried our best to persuade him. In fact, I overheard Tyler saying to Ben's, a Thomas the Train cake would be cool. Would you like Mom to make one for your birthday? To which he replied, I don't even watch Thomas the Train. We tried, so there I sat, Google imaging cow having calf cake. And guess what? There were zero results. Surprise, surprise. So as I'm molding Rice Krispie squares into little hooves, I'm thinking to myself, no mother is ever really prepared for this kind of stuff. And as I'm applying cherry pie filling as afterbirth, I found myself thinking, thank goodness it's only family coming to this party. Really? Then how am I reading about it on the show here? Packard said her son is a huge fan of National Geographic's veterinarian show, The Incredible Dr. Pole. Not a bad show, by the way. Gave her a high five when he saw the cake. She told Babbel, the other party guests laughed hysterically at the cake. So, yeah. Mom.
Hilarious.
Jason, would your mom go that far over the top for your birthday?
No. No. I did get a Cookie Monster cake, but I think that they had those at Safeway, so.
Sure. It's a lot of overthrow. Kareem, you've had several moms. Would any of them make a cow giving birth to a calf cake?
No.
I had to see the real thing, and I did not want that as a cake.
No. I never saw a calf being born, but pigs and dogs and chickens, well, chickens hatching, but yeah. So yeah, no, I would not want a cake that shows that.
No, yeah, I saw it once, and that's not what it looked like. The little baby calf was not smiling with its hoofs coming out. Like,
no, if they're smiling, there's a problem.
Yeah.
that's just the way it works. Yeah, no.
No. No.
And now, the Nate Darling Show takes it to a simpler place. It's time for Small Town News.
All right, let's go to the upper corner of the country, in the state of Maine, where their governor, the eternally controversial Republican Paula Page, once again made a comment that critics are blasting as insensitive and derogatory toward people of color. He drew outrage earlier this year after complaining that drug dealers in Maine had names like D-Money and impregnate white girls. To remind you, in case you missed the shows where we talked about it, he said, and I quote, these aren't the people who take drugs. These are guys with the name D-Money, Smoothie, Shifty. These type of guys, they come from Connecticut and New York. They come up here, they sell their heroin, and then they go back home. Incidentally, half the time they impregnate a young white girl before they leave, which is a real sad thing because then we have another issue we've got to deal with down the road.
Oh, man.
When asked about those comments in a town hall on Wednesday night, he doubled down and insisted that he kept a binder with the picture of every drug dealer in Maine and nearly all were minorities. I wonder if that's the same type of binder that Mitt Romney had, the binder of women.
Yeah.
If you recall that. Let's take a listen to Maine's governor talking about his binder of felons.
I don't ask them to come to Maine to sell that poison, but they come. And I will tell you that 90%+ of those pictures in my book, and it's a three-ring binder, are black and Hispanic people from Waterbury, Connecticut, the Bronx, and Brooklyn. I didn't make the rules. I'm just telling you what's happening.
Yeah. He didn't make the rules. He's just telling you what happened.
That's right. You shouldn't have so many people willing to buy. They wouldn't come up there if there wasn't a market.
Well.
As I told my friend who moved her kids from Natomas to the suburbs, it was like, yeah, out here your kids might smoke a little weed and get drunk. But when you go out to the suburbs, they're going to get high. They're going to use some really hard stuff.
Well, maybe, maybe not. We'll see. But, yeah, that's...
Man, that guy.
That guy. That guy. There's a rumor that he will not finish out his second term.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I thought I saw another article about him this week. Yeah.
Yep, he's out and about. But he's got a binder.
But he has a binder, though.
Here's what I know. Business isn't that great, because if it were, white people would take it over. Right, Kareem?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's why, you know, it's... The safest way to get the drugs when you're there is, if you're a white guy, is to have a black or Mexican guy drive it up from one of those cities and you distribute all of it to yourself. So they're not even getting the real guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
true.
That's the way it works.
Nobody knows drugs like you, Jason.
Man, I'm back in the day.
Thanks for weighing in. Alrighty, well, we're going to wrap up the show now. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for shopping Amazon through that Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. We need you to keep up the good work, because it helps support the show and it does not cost you anything extra.
Not a dime.
It's true. Going to wrap it up now. This is DC Talk and Colored People.
Thanks for listening, and remember to use the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com.